Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Here are some people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
That were only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you all for tuning in on today or past shows, future shows. I really appreciate you tuning in, and please do continue to spread the word about the show. Our guests today have found a creative way to give a voice to an invisible issue here in the United States. It's something that's happening worldwide, but a lot of people are not aware of what's happening right here in our backyards. Chandra McDonald Bradford and Nancy B. Howard are two very accomplished women in the film industry, and they join us today to discuss their upcoming web series, Hands Off This Girl.
Hello.
Chandra McDonald Bradford is a president and CEO of Kiss the Limits Productions Incorporated and lead writer for the upcoming web series, Hands Off This Girl. She is an award-winning writer, director, and producer of short and long-form content. Chandra's film projects have aired on web as well as major television networks. She's also a proud film and television producer for the various colleges here in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Chandra.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Let me quickly introduce Nancy as well. Nancy B. Howard is the COO and VP of Development for Kiss the Limit Productions Incorporated and will serve as one of the executive producers for Hands Off This Girl web series. She's an independent film, video, and stage producer with over 16 years of experience producing a variety of music videos, commercials, film, and theatrical plays, as well as film-related events. Nancy is the founder of the Big Picture Film and Video Foundation. Hi, ladies. Welcome.
Hi there. Hey.
I also wanted to say to the audience real quickly that I gave a very brief introduction, but if they could visit kissthelimit.com for a more in-depth background on the project we'll be talking about, as well as your bios. But welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you for having us. We're excited to be on. Very excited.
Chandra, I want to start with you. If you could please share with us what Hands Off This Girl is about.
All righty. Hands Off This Girl is a dramatic web series about prostituted children in Georgia and abroad that our company plans to produce in the fall. Our writer's room begins next week. We're really excited about that. Mm. And, you know, we're an award-winning film and television company. We're storytellers. We have an activist heart. We are a company that produces content. And we feel like we should create a web series because the internet is ground zero for prostitution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love the concept and the idea of shedding light on such a big topic. that probably a lot of people shy away from.
Yeah.
And I like how, you know, you're using your talents and your gifts and the things that you are already doing to shed light on this.
Right. Yes, yes. It's very important. I mean, media at some point, you know, has to become accountable to the imagery that we put out there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It attributes to it in many ways, many ways.
Yeah. And I want to ask you both, what drew you, and we can start with Nancy, what drew you to wanting to become involved with spreading awareness about this epidemic?
Well, I like what you said, Yvonne, about the fact that this is an invisible issue. I think, by and large, people are vaguely aware that slavery still exists around the world. But a lot of times people feel like, oh, well, it's happening over there. It's not impacting me. So what I learned from the research that we were preparing to work on another project that Chandra will explain a little more in a moment, just the number of girls who are impacted by this crisis of sex trafficking here in Georgia, that was just alarming to me, how they're being pulled into it and how big the problem is here in Georgia. I think we're not aware of the fact that, you know, our neighbors and our friends and our daughters and nieces and, you know, people that we know at church and school, they're all vulnerable to this.
Yeah.
And we are not aware of how that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be
mm-hmm.
runaways who are trying to escape an abusive situation at home, or girls who are being allured away from, you know, internet, thinking that they're chatting with friends their own age but don't know that it's a predator who's trying to pull them into something that's really horrible. And it's devastating to find out what these kids are put through. So that's what drew me in to say, well, why is this happening? Why isn't more being done about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chandra?
Yeah. I wanted to say, you know, my story with this goes back about 4 years ago. I was on Craigslist, and I was looking for some writing opportunities. I came across a woman who was looking for a co-writer for a screenplay, and she, at the time, was a stripper who was in and out of the business. And we talked a lot about stripping, and the more that I learned about how dangerous stripping can be sometimes, and just the connection with prostitution, how a lot of strippers either were prostitutes, become prostitutes, and just the whole intricacy of it, I said, oh my gosh, you know, this is something that I've never heard of this before, okay? And the longer that I stayed on the journey, you know, we decided to do a script, but, you know, the thing about that was we were trying to get it funded, and I felt like in my heart it was still a really, really empowering story, and she and I are still very good friends. But then eventually it evolved into, Nancy and I were on the board of Women in Film, and the Mayor Shirley Franklin was doing the Dear John campaign. And we were learning about prostituted children. And I said to myself, prostituted children? Where? In Georgia?
Yeah.
You know, about the state that I live in, the state that I walk down the street and I do things. You know, like where? Where is this? And the thing about it is, and that was when we saw it, and when I heard about the average age that girls get into this is 13, I said, babies? Our babies are getting into this. And so that started the journey for us to take the original story of the wonderful, wonderful woman I met before and to evolve it into getting back to, you know, the fact that these are children. Because the reality is that the children turn into adults. They don't last very long because the average lifespan is 7 years, according to what experts have told us. But, you know, we have to try to – our series has to be something – we're not documentary filmmakers. We are narrative filmmakers, so we're not doing a documentary. We've seen tons of them. There's wonderful ones out there. We want to do a narrative series a la CSI New York, something that will have a longevity, that will inspire people. It's edutainment, as our publicist says, not entertainment, but edutainment. But, you know, we'll become a part of the framework of our society, just like any other series is, so that people can watch it on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I know, ladies, for me, I have to admit that the term trafficking, I automatically assumed before I became more aware of what it actually was as far as human and sex trafficking, I automatically assumed that it was smuggling people into the country. I didn't know how serious this issue really was, and that it wasn't just including people being brought over to the country, but it was and kids as well, and the whole prostitution thing and all of that. So, you know, I was ignorant to what the gravity of this was. I want to ask either one of you if you can share with us what is sex trafficking.
Yes, yes. You know, it's an evolution we all have to come to. I mean, the larger title of it is human trafficking in general, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that is plaguing our world considerably. Sex trafficking is doing the same thing. According to the UN, sex trafficking is the recruitment, transportation within national or across international borders, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons for the purposes of commercial sexual exploitation. Now, you know, we have to go back and we have to be learned of this the nomenclature and of the wording behind these things, because the wording is very powerful. It's very empowering, and you know, it's very difficult to quantify numbers with something like sex trafficking, because a lot of it is underground, a lot of it is illegal. But in order for us to be able to address it, we have to know exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the key factors, you think, that contribute to why a lot of people are not tuning into this epidemic? And that's for either.
Again, one of the points you made was just the fact that this is an invisible issue. People kind of don't want – it's overwhelming to hear about it. And they don't – honestly, they don't want to know – how close it is, even though they should be completely alarmed once they do hear about it. But one of the key factors that keeps it going is money. You know, money is one of the primary factors that drives the demand for sex trafficking. You know, just the fact that prostituted children is now widely available online. You can go online and place an order, you know, unfortunately. You know, we all know that prostitution has been around forever, but now it's become the number three leading crime of choice behind drugs and guns because of the economics of it. You know, you can sell an ounce of cocaine or a firearm once, and then you have to get a new supply. But a child or a woman can be sold again over and over and over again, that one person. So the markup on that is it's immeasurable. You know, it's become the business of the future for crime organizations, and criminals have gotten much more sophisticated and efficient about how to do this, and they know what they can get away with. You know, women are unfortunately still very much devalued throughout the world, and that's what contributes to the problem.
Yeah, and also, Yvonne, I wanted to add to that. You know, we have to remember when we say things like, you know, we should legalize prostitution, we make statements like that, we have to understand the history and the foundations of where these girls are coming from. You know, 90% of women who get into prostitution have been molested as children. 90%.
Yeah.
Okay? So by the time, I mean, there's a reason why our experts tell us that pimps look at incest and molestation as training grounds for prostitution, because by the time the girls get to them, those girls have been through so much. And they're just looking for they're running away from tragedy and from heartbreak to find someone to accept them. And those pimps take advantage of them. They know they're looking for father figures. They know they're looking for that. I mean, a lot of this, what we have to do as a nation, we have in a world, we have to realize that, you know, a lot of this comes from, you know, there's the economics behind it. Nancy talks a lot about the money. But the economics are a lot of these girls come into this world because, you know, of what happened with their mothers. What happened in the 80s, the crack epidemic, it contributed very, very, it had a devastating impact on families. It tore families apart.
Yeah.
And so from that, you have mothers who, you know, are out there just trying to do their best they can. And so, you know, but the drugs, and so you'll have a mother who's selling her daughter for drugs. And you have, you know, foster homes that are overflowing with kids, and so they don't have enough places to put them. And so it has a long, long history of why it is what it is. And it's, you know, it's as much as people who are hurt, people who've been devastated, and we know that prevention is as important as what's on the other side as well.
Yeah, and I like, you know, the thing that is just so much that we can try to cram into 30 minutes because this topic is really mind-blowing. But one of the things for me, you know, is I want to kind of talk about the misconception that people have on what it is. You know, a lot of times, like you were saying earlier, I believe Nancy said it, that we filter out a lot of things because there's so many things that's going on in the world. We kind of filter out the things that, and these are my words, but filter out the thing that we feel like don't involve us or the thing that we try to shut out because we don't want to really, we really don't want to feel the gravity of what's really happening because once we're aware of it, we know that we got to do something or we'll feel driven to do something about it. That's one of the reasons why I commend both of you for diving into this. But what are some of the misconceptions?
Well, a major misconception is that people think that it won't come to their home. Okay, they think that this will not find its way into their doors to their families. But it's just not true. The GBI, which is the Bureau of Investigation, has been working with us, and they have a really strong relationship. You know, out there, they're very active, and they have a year's worth of work that they're doing in their trafficking division. They've been doing this work for forever, but because of HB 200, they've been able to do more. And the main thing they've said to us is that they have just as many girls from well-to-do homes who are caught up in this as they do girls from low-economic homes. I had a friend of mine the other day who is a very, you know, middle-class young guy, has daughters, and he told me, he said, is this all that you talk about now? You don't talk about anything else? And I wanted to sit there and say to him, are you kidding me? You have two daughters.
Yeah.
You should be asking me more questions.
Yeah.
You should be asking me questions on a regular basis about what to look for, because if you think that they're not after your daughters, you're fooling yourself. They're going to malls. They're going everywhere. These pimps are, because they know, I mean, Nancy said this is the number third crime. It's a $39 billion industry. You know, we have to be wise, and we cannot shelter our children. The truth of the matter is, Yvonne, you know, I grew up in a very sheltered community. I didn't know, the first time I went to a strip club was when I went with Prestige, when I went with Creflo Dollars, ministry, against stripping and prostitution. When I went into the club, that was my first experience. But you know, but now you can't shelter kids like that. I mean, you cannot shelter them because your shelter. We know, you know, because there's people who are tricking them. Their friend, the girl they think is their friend, sometimes she's hurting, and so she's working for that pimp, trying to do whatever he needs to get that girl in there. Next thing you know, she's waking up and she's tied to a bed. We know a case like that. Of a young girl who experienced that. It was raped. It was raped, and so many unspoken things happened to her. And it's because her mother didn't do anything wrong. She did the best she could. But that one time where she just trusted something, this is what happened. And it's not her fault. You know, we have to also empower our children, because maybe if her daughter had known more about what to look for.
Yeah.
And she could have helped herself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as parents too, we figure, oh, they may be too young, or I don't want to open, you know, or talk to my child about specific subjects, even with dealing with child molestation. You know, when I used to do radio shows to promote my book and to talk about my past and being molested and date raped and all that, a lot of people would be, you know, say, well, you know, well, when are they too young? They're never too young to talk to them, because I was as young as I can remember. So, you know, they're never too young to talk to them about things to look for, because it can save their life.
That's right. That's right.
Right. We want to make information available that people will respond to, so that the girls who may see this can make different choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll have that third eye, for lack of a better word, or just that sensibility that this doesn't feel right, and to know that something else is out there that they may not be thinking of, and they will have seen this series or they will have talked to somebody who will make help them to make a different choice.
Yeah.
The pimps, they're preparing themselves. They're sharing information about how to woo these girls, how to brainwash these girls, and they are rising up. I mean, it's a brotherhood amongst them.
Yeah, how to avoid law enforcement and, you know, just get wrong information out there quickly, you know, deceiving information. So we have to have that counterattack where we're providing information that could be of help.
Yes, brotherhood, sisterhood. I mean, it's not affected by gender, you know, and so the best way to counteract it is to put the knowledge into those kids, put them into the students. The schools open up different organizations to come in and educate, especially even the ones on the front end, the girl that you don't think could ever be get caught up in this. You know, it's just not true. I mean, the GBI says that there's a thing going on now where girls are turning tricks for money, for parties, and I mean it's just everywhere, just everywhere.
Yeah, and it's as simple as them going to a party and being drugged.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, not just parents, but people in general, we really, really, really have to open our eyes to the things, you know, that can be, directly affecting our children or indirectly affecting our children, and just letting them be aware of the things that, you know, not in a paranoid state, but in a sense where they are aware of what's going on in the world outside of the home.
Yeah, because, I mean, Nancy and I, a project that we did together a few years ago was called The Promise, and it was all about incest and molestation. And we worked with an organization called Darkness to Light. And I'll never forget the training I went to. They told us a story about an executive who was forced to go to the training at his company, and he didn't want to go. He thought it was just a waste of time. But one summer he was at a rec center at a pool, and he heard a man in another stall talking to this young boy about something, and he was about to leave, but because he had been to that training, he listened, and he realized this man was setting this boy up to be molested.
Wow.
And the boy's mother just thought, okay, I'm going to stand right outside the door and let my son go inside and go to the bathroom. But, you know, had that man not have had that opportunity, he would have known to go out to the police, get the police, and the police arrested that man. So he saved that little boy.
That's
as basic as it is. You know, it's just being perceptive. But you have to be trained, learned, and knowledgeable so you can make a difference like that. And that's the community uproar. That's how the community can get involved in this.
Yeah. This has been a really, really big eye-opener for me. And one of the beautiful things about life is, and as being human, we often, when we involve ourselves in bigger things that are outside of ourselves, it tend to change us. How have this impacted your personal lives? How have it evolved you or changed you? And we'll start off with Nancy.
Well, for me, I know I've had to remove the judgment that I know I had towards people who are suffering in this situation. You know, it's easy to think that the woman that you see on the street, that she chose this life, you know, so I don't do anything to help her. But for all you know, that girl was a 13-year-old who was a runaway or who was kidnapped or who was lured away, like the different ways we mentioned already. Who knows how long she's been, you know, in this situation so that she is now brainwashed to thinking this is all she can do. You know, who knows how she got started. So what I want to do is to help make a difference. I have to put away my judgment and, you know, not think the way that will cause me to act in a way where she can't ask for help, because that's what we want. Our takeaway from all of this that we're doing is to make it possible for victims and, interestingly, for abusers and traffickers, too, to know that there's a way they can get out of this and to stop what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chandra?
Yeah, I would say for me that, you know, I feel a lot of the way that Nancy does in terms of not judging, open up. I mean, because I'm meeting so many former prostitutes and young girls. I mean, again, remember, the Lord has softened my heart through the woman I met four years ago. He kind of turned me inside out so that I could hear her. Anytime you write a story about someone, you have to really, really listen to them, understand what they're going through, if it's not even your reality. But, you know, my life is one whereby, you know, my mother is a great inspiration to me. My mother, she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, just like I am. She's always been about service. And that's been the inspiration for me in my life. It doesn't matter if I haven't experienced this or experienced someone else has. You know, it goes back to the old adage, for those, much is given, much is required. You know,
yeah.
I'm in the training time of my life now to learn about this, but I feel in the gut of my belly, I feel very, very powerful, and I feel very inclined to fight for these young women. Ann Kerr, who's from Out of Darkness, she's a consultant of ours, the wonderful 24/7 rescue hotline where they go out and rescue women, and they get them to, you know, they get them help, and they bring them off the street. They pray for them. You know, she said, she made a comment about how it's our job to help the brokenhearted. You know, these girls need our help. You know, they
yeah.
don't need our judgment. They don't need our looking the other way. You know, they need our help. They need for one of the main things that this girl told me, who I worked with 4 years ago, and I can't say her name because I don't want to disclose her identity, but she said, Chandra, she said, you know, the worst part about all of this is that I couldn't get jobs. And when I would try to get out, the men who would come to the strip club and take advantage of me, they wouldn't give me work. And then, or she said she tried to go to school, and she said she'd be in the classroom, and somebody would be making fun of her because of what she did. And she said it just after a while, it just gets to you. So we have to create, you know, we want this series to be, again, we're storytellers. We want
yeah.
this series to reflect the evolution of these women as they're trying to get out. They're trying to do the things that they can do and to show the realities of it. But it's also meant to be very hopeful because we know that at the end of the day, that they can be resilient and they can be okay. But we want our series to be a testimony of that.
So how do we help? How do we support this project?
Well, just being aware that this is happening and it's much closer than we think is one of our goals. But we also want people to know that there are advocacy organizations out there that target these young women and the men who need volunteers. Some churches have outreaches that can use any assistance that people are willing to offer. And our project is an opportunity for people to help, even in the smallest way. Our website is kissthelimit.com, and you can go to the Donate Now button and make a donation. 5% of our fundraising campaign will go to Out of Darkness, the organization we mentioned earlier that rescues girls and women. And that is groundbreaking what they're doing. They're on the ground just reaching out and helping women and men who need to be rescued from this. So any way that you want to help our organization will help other organizations and the web series. And also, one more thing is that our research for what we have been working on is chronicled, and our pre-production activities as well on our blog, which is handsoffthisgirl.com. And, again, our website, one more time, is kissthelimit.com.
Kissthelimit.com and handsoffthisgirl.com?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And
at the very bottom, it'll say donate now, and that's where they can donate, but they can also get a lot of wealth of information. Because we feel like, you know, parents, sit with your daughters and your sons in front of the blog, Hands Off This Girl,
yeah.
and just go through it. Go through it, and when they ask a question, just explain to them what that is. I was on a panel a few months ago, and a woman was a second grade teacher, and she said, "Don't you think that this is too much information for young people?" I said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "What? Do you realize that some of these second graders know more than you do about this? So
yeah.
you're not sparing them anything by not talking to them about it. But you tell them one thing to make them feel like it's okay that you know this. You give them some validity to help them. You will change their lives."
Yeah, and especially with the internet, a lot of kids are on Facebook and are online, and they have direct access to them. So I agree that it's never too soon or never too, and it's not too much for them. They may not fully understand it. But it's something that has to happen.
That's right.
That's right.
And I want to thank you. We're out of time, but I really, really, really want to thank you, Chandra, and Nancy, both. I want to thank you for shedding light and being a voice to these girls and shedding light on this topic. And it was an absolute pleasure having you both on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank
we love
you.
What you're doing. Thank
yes,
you, Yvonne.
We're happy to be here. Thank you.
We're very happy for you as well.
Thank you.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care. Have a wonderful
day. All right, bye-bye. You too.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Bye.